Exactly, Chavtalit. And last year we ended with the Machlok and Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, which is whether the Machlok in Gittin regarding a Na'ara, as we explained, if you remember, by Gittin we said, or he or Avia Mekablin Gittah, when Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Ein Shtayim Zochot HaKechad BeGuf Echad. Whereas the question is, does it also apply to Kiddushin as well? However, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, hakol modim she b'kiddushin, that when it comes to kiddushim, she avia mekadesh Elohi, that her, if you like, dad is nothing to the fathers. It was only in the context of divorce did the Chachamim say that either can receive it, because we said that something doesn't require dat, it can be done by al kocha. However, for kiddushin, that's a different story altogether. So the Gemara now says, well, manitim plegi Rabbi this we'll see the following, seems to argue what we learned in the Mishnah, seems to be argue on Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Says Aish mekadesh et bito kishi naara. Okay, so it says that a man can mekadesh his daughter, this is kiddushin importantly, bo ubushlucha, meaning him, he can marry her off, or betroth her off, I should say, or with her shaliach. Importantly, what's missing from here? It says aval the korban. It says aval ba ubushlucha, meaning her herself, she can't do it. You see, therefore, Alma, therefore, Na'arash Yeshla Av, lo mekad she can. And the Havamina now is this is Divrei HaKol. So that seems to be Rabbi Yochanan that says when it comes to Kiddushin, everyone agrees that it's only the Av. The Gemara says, well, very simple, Pata like Rabbi Yehuda, we can simply say this, our mission is like Shidat Rabbi Yehuda, and not Chachamim, that Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Shtei Adayim Kechad, Yafer. The Gemara says, Amra Basi, Chad Rav Nafach Min Bei Vada. Those are rather came out from the base Midrash. Amar says Nafak over to the incident Rabbi Yochanan went, and it was like Rabbi Yochanan but some chinan lavi. They went like Shita Rabbi Yochanan, which is by kiddushin as well. It's only avia and not, and we don't really count the her dat in that context. So what's interesting here, the Gemara says, Lo dahava surcha ella dahavu min yamalatigna. So what's it then? What's the meaning of this? And we've seen this expression before. So Korbanet says the two explanations. Let's go through it. It says, in other words, they didn't. It's not that he was a bar samcha. This Talmud that came out that we could rely on him necessarily, meaning, but rather it was very close to where the Beit Vad was that was speaking. So what advantage? What was it? What would the chashash been otherwise? So there's two ways to understand it. Korbanet says either Shia or Tor Talmid Ra'uilis. In other words, Lo Shia or Tor Ra'uilis Moch Al Dvarav Shemek Daktiv Shemav Sheenu. That it don't think that this Talmud was such a reliable Talmud that he was meddactic with the words and forgot anything. Ella what? That it just wasn't very far from the Beit Midrash where it was. So in that short period of time, you could rely on him. Okay, but a week later, you might think, I don't know, does he remember everything that happened, etc. Alternatively, it's not his, if you like, his samchut that we're worried about in terms of is he a faithful recorder of information, but rather Ella. So, the Lishnah Achronim, I'll drop down a few lines. Is that Lishnah Achronim lakach samchu alav de kemet makom karov ulo meshaker. In other words, the other way of understanding is maybe that we're concerned this guy would have lied. And because it's so close, no one's going to lie two steps away from the incident occurred, where he could be, questioned. If it was from coming overseas, we'd have to find who this person really is and get more detail. But in any event, the meaning is they relied on him in this context because it was so close, either because he could faithfully transmit the information, or that it, and or I should say there was no concern of him lying. Okay, Rav Amnuna says b'shem Ravasi, k'tana shekidsha et atzma b'shtei sarot. Avia mema'en velohi. Oh, I put ver in, but lohi. So she's 12 years old. Then that means she's already, sorry, not 12. She's already got grown, to, developed two sarot. So she's beginnings of a na'ara. She's na'ara. It says the father can object to that. Okay, because that sounds like she ain't mekachat atzma. We'll get that. That seems to fit in with Shita Rabbi Yochanan, which we'll touch on in a moment. And lohi. Now, what lohi means is we're talking about the case of Mion in the past. If you remember, Mion is where we have Yotoma, and she's been married off by her either mother or brother, that she can break out of the relationship, but until what age? Until she reaches age of Shtei Sarot. So that's avia velohi. So it's avia mema'ena velohi is referring to two, I think, two different cases where the Korban explains it. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, well, clearly, lo atya, this case doesn't seem to actually, I correct that, doesn't seem to act like be according to Rabbi Yochanan or Rashi Ben Lakish. Lok Rabbi Yochanan, but Lok Rabbi Shimon Lachish. Why? Because if it's like Rabbi Yochanan, there's no necessity for Miyun. Because we just said in Kodesh Rabbi Yochanan, by Kiddushin, Lekula Almin Chachamin Agrei Hadad is considered nothing compared to the fathers. So the fathers didn't have to object. What she's done is absolutely meaningless. So what do you mean that Avia Mimaen? He needs to protest. Sounds like he needs to do something to break her, whatever activity she did. But according to what we're saying now, Lekula Alma by Kiddushin, everyone agrees that Avia Velohi Mekabela Kiddusheha. Then why do you even need Miyun? And in Kerabi Shimon and Lakish, Nisun Torahi. Hen, sorry. And according to Shimon Lakish, we said the Machloki Begitin Nisan Bakobi Kiddushin, that oh, he or Via Mekabela Kiddusheha. Well, then in that context, she's Mekudesha. Men being the father protesting won't help. So who is this like? So Gemara says, no, lo atya elik Rabbi Yochanan. It is indeed like Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning, afa gabdi Rabbi Yochanan amar ha-kol morim b'kiddushay ha-shavia kitcha, that when it comes to kiddushim, that everyone agrees she that the father can mekabel kesef kiddushin v'lohi. However, modev ba-avia yima'en al yada. Now, what's the modev ba-avia yima'en al yada? So here, the Korbanetta says, it says, Rabbi Yochanan agrees. Im kichat atzma, she's an ara, she's a makaba kesef kedusha from somebody else. The father would have to tzarich shima en avia b'kedusha b'feirush. The father would have to act shima mayan. So he would require an act. So it's not like we said before. Our assumption is her against her father is absolutely nothing. She can't even make a shaliach. We talked about all these things like that. Like she's absolutely nothing. That was some of the consequence. But saying that's not the case. She would have to mayan. Why? Aval im nitratz, because tzrichim meferush. Aval im nitratzal maaseya afilu sheshatak. Interesting that if the father was quite happy with the arrangement, even or he even was just silent, silence is consent in this understanding. Kiddusheya kiddushin gmurim, it would be a good kiddushin. So it's not like that she's like absolutely zero kwent Rabbi Yochanan learning. There's a kabbalah here. It seems to be that it's completely contingent and hinging on the father. Okay, so he has to. And if he consents, then she would be able to make Kabbalah Kedus Kiddusheya, interestingly. So it's not like zero, it's like, I don't know, whatever percentage you want to give it, but it's like a talui. Okay, now the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Kahana, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Aidi said in the name of who? B'shem Rabbi Yochanan ben Yeshua ben Levi. It says, Kitcha Ladat, okay, she got betrothed Ladat Avia. We're still talking about this Na'ara. V'ichnisa shelo ladat, but the chuppah was done shelo ladat the father. Zeh ha'maisa, that was an incident. Uba avia v'otzia me'gnuna, gnuna is chuppah. Meaning, no, they can't do that. The chuppah can't go without the dad of the father. Okay, that's what we're saying here. Because we said, everyone agrees when it comes to chuppah, even Rish Lakish, that the chuppah, because he's losing all the rights as a result, has to be with the dad of the father. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha says B'shem Rabbi Yeshua Siman Hava Lo. He had some sort of Siman, meaning when it's a Siman, he has a Limud. I saw this. Was it? Yeah, because if you look at the Pnei Moshe, here's a Kubshat. It says Ushagur Befiv Haya Ze Le Siman. The Rabbi Yeshua Levi the Kamahachi Paliga Rishim and Lakish. Now, why do we say it's a Siman the Shugur Befiv? And I think the explanation is that because the Chachamim did Simanim to remember the learning. So Siman Hayalo, I think I haven't seen anyone say this explicitly, but it was like that was his that like he had a Siman, a means of remembering that Mamash, that what Rabbi Shimon Levi was cholek on Rabbi Shimon Lakish. However, quite clearly here we see that's not the case. Because if you remember, this lines up perfectly with Shimon Lakish. Because what did Rabbi Shimon Lakish say? That even though he said Chachamim that she can makabel kiddushea on her own according to Chachamim. When it comes to Nisuin, no, you need the dad of the father. When the Nisuin, okay? So, and this pretty much is exactly what we're saying, Rabbi Shulman Levi said. Because he's just, like we just saw in this situation here, the Rabbi Yair, because in other words, that if she did, sorry, Kichaladab, Nichsaladat, the father came out to him in Megununa. So Gemara says, late had a palig, late palig, Heichmad Abra Shulman Lakish, Shimon Lakish, sorry. Amar Taman lo hakol lo menu lo asiyat atzmal vasid masay adeha lavia. Ken Rabbi Shua ben Levi amar hakol lo hakol mi mena lo asiyat atzmal vasid masay adeha lavia. They seem to line up perfectly. So it goes against that siman he had that they were cholek. They seem to be in alignment perfectly. Gemara now says, okay, we have a different version of exactly what that teaching was. So what was it? Before we said it was Rabbi Barakana, that Rabbi Yaakov, is the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Now here we've got a different version. Atta Rabbi Abba Barakana and Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said in the name of who? Of Rabbi Shimon Levi. This is different now. Kicha shelo ledat, v'chnisa shelo ledat, zeh haya maaseh uba aviyah va'akar kiddusheha. Which means what happened is the kiddushin was done shelo ledat. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, what would be the din there? He says the Chachamim also cholek in kiddushin, so it would have worked. But what actually happened in this brought name of Shimon Levi? The kiddushin was done without the dat of the father, and she then it was chichnisa shelo ledat. It was a maaseh uba aviyah. The father was able to come and akar even all the way back to the kiddushin. So you see quickly that more lines with Rabbi Yochanan than it does with Rish Lakish, if the kiddushin has to be done, everyone agrees. If you like, this kiddushin has to be done at the dat of here. Okay, let's continue. Kichala dat, it was done. Kiddushin was done with the dat of the father. V'kamsa shelo ledat, and then what happened is they got betrothed. They got married shelo ledat of here. Again, we're constantly talking about this case of Anara. This new case we've got involved in a father as well as her. Okay. So, can she truma now? Interesting question. Because Rav Amar, ochelet. Absolutely, she can ochelet. Shmuel says, ain't ochelet. She can't. Why? Because we've said that, what's a din? We said that, really, according to Chachamim, according to pretty much everyone, well, not everyone, according at least, that, well, if it's Kiddushin's on the dot, it's a good Kiddushin, according to everybody. If she goes off and gets married without the father, well, you can't. She can't do it on her own. So it really makes a lot of sense, according to Shmuel, that she's still considered a mureset. She's still considered betrothed. And if you remember, the Chachamim say that even though, importantly, we'll get to this in a moment, midin Torah, a woman who's mureset to a kohen can eat truma. Chachamim say that really, during the time ever since, she can't. So therefore, in ochelet. But the question is, why then does Rav say that if she now gets married, right, without the dat of the father, now she can start eating truma? Shouldn't she still be considered like a, if you like, a just mureset, not nusua, not be able to have truma? So Amrav mana taima de Rav shekevat shekidsha ledat chazaka shekansa ledat. Interesting pshat. First way of understanding Rav is that since the father was happy with the kiddushin, minastam, we assume he was happy with the whole thing unless we hear otherwise. And because, you know, until this we hear otherwise, therefore she can start, she can have, if you like, the she can eat truma. However, Amar Rav Yossi Barabun, he says no. Barabibun, sorry, he says no. Tamid Rav Shechten Mishnah Rishona Arusa Bat Yisrael Ochelet Betruma. Because if you remember, the Midin Torah, an Arusa Bat Yisrael who is married to a Kohen can eat Truma. So now that she goes and becomes, if you like, married, we're somech on that Mishnah Rishona. The only problem with that is like, why suddenly you go back to the Mishnah Rishona in this context when Mishnah Achrona, meaning after that, there were gozer that she can't. So I'll show you this very interesting the Shirei Korban. He says, V'yesh lomar, the kesavar of the time of the Mishnah Achrona, mishum simfon or shematim zog kos lachia. What was the reason why Chachamim were gozer that a rusa bat Israel married to a kohen can't have truma? There was two issues. One is that when they eventually get married, he'll discover some sort of mum that, had he known about it, it would have never betrothed her, some hidden mum of some sort. And it's and mafreya, it's a kinyan, it's a what's it called, mekach taot. There was never really married, and you find that during the course of betrothal, she was eating truma, never really being betrothed to a kohen and allowed to, and she was in Bat Yisrael eating truma, and that's not allowed. That's reason number one. The other reason is because she's still living at home, she might bring some truma home and share it with her family. Those are the two, if you like, stadim that the Chachamim says is not a good idea. That was Mishum Sifon or Shemitim Zor Koslavia. Ava Midoraita, can she have Truma? Absolutely, she can. Ochela Betruma, Kamufurash Bevavli Bektubot. And also in Kiddushin. Vahachi Kamar. Shechen Mishra Lochayashet Klaalasim Chono Olashamim Zog. Ola Mishna Achrona, Hachadinisan Chalachupa, Lekalamei Chashlamidi. In our situation, the whole motivation to say she can't have truma during the betrothal period is because of those two concerns. But now that she's now, if you like, living with this man, well, there's no concern anymore. Because he already has checked her out. There's no mumim that he's going to say mekachto anymore. Similarly, he's now living with her, so she's not giving food. She's not living with her family anymore. She's going to give him truma. So there's no concern anymore that brought about the gzeira by Mishnah Achrona in this particular context. That's why Rav says she can eat chalav betruma. Okay. Maybe my kama dilma plug rabbanan bein lo nichlasa lechupa klal. Maybe you should make a maybe a lo plug kula hay eino lanu lechalek bein Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Mishnah Achrona. There's no reason to make a mechilah in that context. Now, which is very interesting. So in other words, if we look at it again. Important. What's the difference? This we need to understand this very clearly to understand the next piece. According to Rav Mana, why does Rav say she can go any truma? Because the assumption is, since the father's very happy kiddushin, we assume he'll be happy with the nisuin going ahead. Okay. Therefore, is she considered married? 100% married. Therefore, she can eat truma. According to Rav Yossi Bar Bun's understanding of Rav. It's not in their case. We're not saying she has 100% married anymore. She can eat truma. Because the gzeirot that didn't allow it truma while she was an arusa no longer apply, so she's still really an arusa until the father gives consent. You hear? So therefore, what are the nafkaminas? Manafkamina? Well, clearly nafkaminas will be maasiyadeya. Maasiyadeya meaning any productivity output. Who gets it? According to if you say she's fully married at this stage, which is Ramana's understanding, well, her husband gets it. However, if you say that it's only because the gzeira of the fact she can't eat truma during betrothal no longer applies, she's not, but she's still just an arusa, then who would it go to? It would go to the father. So adat Rav Mana karav maaseh de la baala. Adat Rav Yossi Bar Bun karav would be maaseh de la avia, which is exactly what you just explained to. The Gemara says meta if she dies mi yorsha should be the same nafkamina. Al data de Rav Mana, who understands according to Rav, she's mamash considered married, but clearly, Baala Yorsha, the husband, if you like, is Yorash. Al data to Rav Yosef Bar Bun, that no, she's still in a Rusa, the only reason why she have Truma is because the Gzera is no longer applied. Then, if she dies, Meta Avia Yorsha, the father, if you like, is Yorash. However, at Rabbi Yossi Bar Bun, importantly, Rabbi Yossi Bar Bun, he's a shita that says what? Rabbi Yossi Bar Bun is a shita that says she's not fully a nesu'ah yet. It's only because the gzera no longer applies. He says, nonetheless, he says, Karav meta, if she dies, still the Baala Yorsha. Now, that's a bit of a spanner in the works because this doesn't seem to make sense. If it's not fully married, why does it suddenly go to the Baala? The Baala. So here, I'll show you here, the Korban Eder says, and also Pnei Moshe says something similar. He says, "Pamim em meta bala yorsha kagon shabala muhsak benichsei malog." If he's already got a chazak on a nechsei malog, umokmina mamona becheskat misaveka, meaning since it's really a suffix after, if you like, she's already dead, the intentions, if you like, he says already he has a chazak on it. However, I'll just show you the Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe says something a little bit similar. It says, "V'kama behedya d'larav meta ba'ala yorsha, no still yoresh. Tafilu l'taim edam ha'karusa makshivin." Even though we treat it like an arusa, like I explained. However, le'inyan masiyah deya hu d'ka'ama. That's only for masiyah deya, for a handiwork. Oh, shemi avol, because maybe the father's going to come and object. Avalen yirusha, to inherit, lo shayach lo memraken. We're not concerned to that extent. V'arei b'chezkat nesuahi, she's already considered b'chezkat nesuah kol zman shelo micha'av, which is interesting, because Ben Moshe takes almost like a suffix intermediate position, okay, to understanding. In other words, she's like an arusa for masiyah deya, because the father might object, he might have to return it, blah, blah, blah. But in other words, if she died already, that's it's like too late. She's already dead, if you like, and therefore he would yoresh. So you have to somehow find a svara to like really carve, slice between the two. So that, okay. Now, the Gemara says, Kitcha shalol ladat. Is that up to? Yes. Yes. Kitcha shalol ladat. Vichnisa shalol ladat. Marshal techal betruma. What happens if Kiddushin was done without the doubt of the father and she goes to get married without the doubt of the father? What's the din then? So Shmuel Amar, suddenly Shmuel says Ochelet. One second. Shmuel was a shit, if you remember, who said it was Kitcha Ladat and then got married, she can't have Truma. Now we're saying if none of it was done Ladat, she can have Truma. What's going on? The Gemara says, no, itachami, like Tashma, let's understand it. Ilu kitcha ladat vichkansa shalola dat Shmuel amar eino chelet v'hachul amar chelet. Doesn't make any sense. It's like it's less the father's the less the father's involved. Now you're going to say she can have truma. So Gemara says, no, Shmuel Avad Lakia Toma. What does it mean, Avad Lakia Toma? I'll just show you here beautifully the Korban says. The Kimin Shir'ashinit Kadsha. The father saw she had Kiddushin. Then he set and also got married Shalola Dat. The Shatak, and he remained silent. Mistama Hifgiru Zuchuta Shiyash Loba. It's almost like the fact that he saw these two events and didn't object to either of them, it's almost like he was mafkir is chutnut. So therefore she's independent, she's like a bogeret. That's why. I can understand maybe nitkasha ladat v'niset shelo ladat, maybe in the, Shmuel disagrees. In a case where he was involved in one of those steps. Maybe his silence, he was angry at the time, it doesn't necessarily imply consent. Avakule hai to witness both the kiddushin and the nesuin and stay silent, it must be he's given it over. So very interesting. In other words, so let's go it over again. Shmuel says, if the father witnessed both things, clearly he's not interested anymore. He's happy for her do her own thing. If, however, he was involved in the first step and she goes to get married, the fact that he might be silent there because he's fuming. Who says he's happy? Therefore, until we get full consent, understanding of explicit consent, then she wouldn't be able to have trauma. Okay, the Gemara says, Manini hitkachili timrazev. So now, if you remember, this is the last case of the Mishnah. Let's go over it again. The Mishnah, it says, if someone says to his wife, hitkachili betrumazur, hitkachili libazur, I would trouble this one. I want to attribute this one, etc. Imesh bechad mehem, if in one of them we have a shavat prota, then mukudeshet, bin lav eino mukudeshet. Now, the way I explained that to you is not like the Rosham is going to explain it. I'm sort of in my head, I was still in bubbly mode, where I said, because hichkachili bazu, hichkachili bazu, each of them is a separate maisa active kiddushin. Hichkachili, hichkachili, the fact is the kachili splits it up. That's why at least one of them has to have a shavat prota. However, the Gemara in Yerushalmi doesn't explain it that way. It says, the reason why it's saying that is because the continuation of the Mishnah, if you remember, it says, if he says, bazu, 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 all these things, we said as long as there's shavu brutah in all of it, then it works. So the Yerushalmi clearly doesn't understand the fact that he inserted kachi, kachi in between each one, that it separates it. The Yerushalmi is saying, no, this makes no difference. So if it makes no difference, it's like, why in the first case, you have to have a shavu brutah in one of them? And why in the second case, we say, oh, as long as all it's got, amongst all of its shavu brutah, it works. So he says quite clearly, it's saying, the first case must be, he says, I'm not interested, chucks it away. I'm not interested. Until in the last, it must be, that's what it's talking about, when it says that she has shavu brutah, it means if as long as the last one has a shavu brutah and she accepts it, then it's mikudeshet. That's what the first case is saying. In other words, the reason why it doesn't combine is because she's rejected each one of them. So it can't combine. That's what Yerushalmi is saying. That's a different way of understanding the sugya. If he says bazu u bazu u bazu, now we're saying that actually combines it. So mantani vavin, who's the chitah hold vavin? This takes us back to a sugya we saw. We haven't learned it in Shvuot, but we've seen it cited a number of times. What vavim do in Shvuot? Does it divide or does it combine? So that's a machlokum Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir. In terms of, does it split it up into a separate Shavuot or does it combine into one Shavuot? That's Machlok Rebbe Yehuda Rebbe Meir, and Amish must be like Rebbe Yehuda because Rebbe Meir says, Bazu, U Bazu, Bazu must be with this one, all this one, all this one. And if that was the case, I couldn't combine. Okay, next. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Beshem Rav, Kishili Basela Ze, Lachar Shloshim Yom. If a man gives a woman, he says, Here, you're Mekodeshetli with this seller. But it's going to be Chal in 30 days' time. If, however, the money is consumed, it's all gone before the 30-day time arrives. It's just not going around anymore. He says, "Harizim Kodesh, that's fine." And Rabbi says, "One second. Sorry, and let's continue. V'af Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar modeba. Even Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agreed to this. This relates to. I'll just show you here. It says, "Af Rabbi Yehuda deka'ama besamuch malva bepikadon im you need a shavu brutah to remain." This we'll see this towards the end of the daf. That if you're Mekadesh Mamalva, you have to have some of the original sum. We've also seen this before. Still in the person's possession, the woman's possession, or to Mekudesh. But here, even if there's nothing left over, it works. The Gemara says, Ma Ben Ola Ben Malva. What difference is between this case and Malva, where even Rashim Rabbelaz says you need like a Shavu, at least a Shavu Prutah's worth, and here you don't need anything left over? So the difference is very simple. Malva Lon El Shem Kiddushin. When the person wants to marry a woman based on a malva by foregoing a particular debt, well, the money she received was never l'shem kiddushin. So now you want to mekadesh based on forgoing a debt. You're not handing her anything of substance. Coming to kodesh. If there's something still left, the shavuot is worth hana still in her hands from the original amount you gave. Okay, you can rely on that. However, here it's different. From the very beginning, the person was mekadesh with this money, and says, "You're mekadesh it with me now," and the money is given over to Sheb Kiddushin. It's just challah later date, so there's no problem. That's the difference. Kiddushin lakach nitnu b'shav rishona. The Gemara says, "One second, we've got a difficulty now." And Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Korbanah keeps this in Pnei Moshe Exodus, I think. In other words, if you remember, even if he's handing it one over at a time, or he's giving it over to her, and she's eating it one at a time, that there has to be, if you like, a Shaveh Prutah remaining. Okay? But according to what Rav said, why should it matter? Because each and every one of those things you've been giving a Lashem Kiddushin, and according to Rav, if you give a son Lashem Kiddushin, it doesn't matter if it's not there at the end. Like, what was the case? The case was, Mikdash, she can completely spend it, use it, and even though Kiddushin is, by the time Kiddush Chal is not around, it doesn't matter. So to hear, if he's giving her, if you like, these money, Lashem Kiddushin, importantly, then what does it matter if this has that? Why does it have to be a Shaveh Prutah remaining at the end? So the Gemara says, Patala Rosha. The Gemara says that no, that requirement of having a Shaveh Prutah at the end, that's regarding the Reisha. What was the Reisha? The Reisha, the way Yerushalmi explained it, the novel way he was learned, is whether she rejected every single one of them. The Gemara says, V'ina Rosha, bedatanin atah chilit rishona in Mekudeshet, atchiu b'cham mem Shaveh Prutah. Does that make any sense? Now, the way the korban, this is where I got a bit stuck before, but because I got a bit ahead of myself. Here, the korbanator says it implies that I'm not going to explain the korbanator because I find a drop difficult with a continuation. And this little piece, I'll explain the Pnei Moshe, and Rid Vaz also explains it like this as well. He says if it was just on the reisha, she wouldn't have had to eaten them, because according to the reisha, you need a shaveh prutah at the end. Why? Because you've rejected every other one along the way. So who cares if she ate it or she didn't eat it? Because none of those ones she received along the way can be counted for Kiddushin. She's rejected every single one of them. So how can you say the Sefer that says if she's eating one by one, provided at the end there's one that's Shaveh Prutah, then she's Mekudeshet? Well, that's who cares if she's eating it or not? If it's Dafka on the Reisha. The Reisha specifically, she's rejected every one. They could all be sitting there still on the table. So rather, Amar Rav Elazar, it must be the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar here. It must be the Rabbi Shel Elazar that allows someone Mekadesh b'malva, and this is, we'll stop here, but this is because lead in tomorrow is tough to understand, Shita Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Shita Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that what? That you can Mekadesh b'malva provided there's still a Shaveh Prutah's principle left at the end. Okay? Of the original amount that was given over. And in this situation, she's accepting every single one and she's eating every single one. And because the way Pnei Moshe explains that the kavana of the husband was, you're only going to be mikdash basof. If she's eating every single one along the way, they're effectively like a loan. And if they're effectively like a loan, you need a shaveh pruta at the end. So it's not a chamem shaveh pruta. It is actually has to be a shaveh prutas at the end, because you need a shaveh pruta still remaining of a malve to mekadesh b'malve. Okay, meaning to have one, if you like that. So that's the way we're going to explain it. Mr. Shem next year will open up the Shita Reb Elazar, Shimra Elazar, a bit more detail. Because if we continue now, we'd pretty much hold next Amud. It's an appropriate place to stop. All right. Kol tov. Have a good day.
Thank you. Chodesh, everybody.
Okay.